me forward. I want to turn now to God's Word. We're going to look at Mark 8, 1 through 9. Now, this is a familiar text. We all have known since we were little children that Jesus fed 5,000 in the wilderness, and then later on, he also fed 4,000. Now, there are some who say, well, there was just one event, but the Gospels got it mixed up. No, there were two different feedings in the wilderness. In fact, the earlier feeding of 5,000 was mostly Jewish folks, whereas this feeding way out in the southeastern end of the wilderness called Decapolis, the area, the region of 10 cities, many of these people were Gentiles. A very different experience. And Jesus, in his teaching of his disciples, he refers to both. At one time, he says, have you forgotten about the feeding of the 5,000 and the 12 baskets left over? And have you forgotten about the feeding of the 4,000 and the 7 baskets? So Jesus himself testifies about this miracle. But I want to concentrate on verse 4 of this text, because it speaks to God's call in our lives to use whatever gifts we have to serve Him and not be afraid. The main idea, of course, is that God provides. Look at how He provided abundantly for these people. But I want you to think about God's provision another way, mentioned in this text. And that is how God provided using the inadequate ability of those disciples. You know, we just had our annual conference in June down in the Twin Cities. And of course, for me, a great blessing is in January we have the pastors' conference, and then in July we have the annual conference. And those give me two wonderful opportunities to have fellowship with other pastors in the ministry. And, you know, when pastors get together, the first thing we always ask each other is, how's the ministry going? It's a particular vanity of pastors that they always want to say, oh, wonderful, wonderful. Because, you see, we don't want to admit that maybe we're frustrated, or maybe we're not seeing the Holy Spirit work the way we'd like to. What we'd like to say is, oh, God is working through this ministry in a mighty way. But with your good friends, the men who know you well, often you get a more honest answer. One pastor this last June, when asked that question, he answered, he said, my life is very, very busy, too busy. The challenge of ministry is that the whole world is broken. There's more need than anybody can possibly meet. He said at some point every day, he just has to say, Lord, that's all I can do today. I dare say, Christian friends, that sentiment is on all of our hearts, especially as we see our nation, which seems to be heading in ever greater numbers onto what Jesus calls the broad path that leads to destruction in Matthew 7:13. It seems like one person's ability even to turn away from sin in our own lives and to trust always in Jesus Christ, let alone to proclaim the good news to others, it seems so often that our ability is so feeble and so weak and so inadequate. And as that pastor said, the whole world is broken. But I want to encourage you this morning, and Jesus in this text encourages you, I hope, to know that you are not alone. But as you hear Jesus Christ and the gospel, He calls you to work side by side with Him. and the work that he is doing and serve the kingdom of heaven. And as you doubt your own ability and your own skills and talents and resources, you can trust in God's provision. That's what we see in this text this morning. I want to pick it up again. It's Mark chapter 8. And it says in verse 1, in those days the multitude was very great. And having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciple to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they've now continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him and said, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Verse 4. Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, Jesus said to set them also before the people. So they ate and were filled, and the disciples took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. It's verse 4 that I want to draw your heart and mind to this morning, because Jesus has a purpose. And the disciples say in verse 4, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? We see in this situation, just as we see in our own lives, this whole world is broken. The multitude in need is very great. But secondly, we see that Jesus works his miracles through what you have. That's the key. He works his miracles through what you have. And third, God provides abundantly to those who follow him. The multitude in need is very great. As I was thinking about that this week and meditating on these verses, I was reminded of China. I mean, when you think of a multitude, what's the most populous country in the world? China, right? We got about 7 billion people on the planet right now. 2.5 billion of them come from China. Another 1 billion in India. Well, when was it? 1849. China was still the most populous nation in the world, and it was almost entirely, completely pagan. They'd never heard of Jesus Christ. And in 1849, a man named Hudson Taylor, he was a young man, he's about 21, and he was a new Christian, only a couple years old. And he heard about China and the vast multitude there. And Hudson Taylor had a burden on his heart to bring the gospel to those people. And so he prayed to God and asked for permission from God to go. Didn't realize it, but God was calling him. And then he asked for God's provision. What can one man do? Well, over the course of 51 years, Hudson Taylor brought over 800 missionaries to China. He founded 59 churches. He began 125 schools. He directly participated in 18,000 conversions. He started what was called China Inland Missions, and they established more than 300 gospel stations for the work of Christ and more than 500 local lay leaders in every one of the 18 provinces of China. And you remember now, this is the time of the warlords in China. This was the time when you had to get on a clipper ship and it took you 6 months to get to China. maybe, if you made it through the typhoons and whatnot. Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness, and he wrote this in his personal journal, probably as an encouragement to himself. He said, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced Father. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the desert for 40 years. We do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to provide for them all." And then he writes these words that I want you to remember. He says, "God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply." So Jesus is in the wilderness with his disciples. Now, a wilderness is a desolate place. It's an empty place. It's a place where you cannot find anything that you need to sustain your life. That's the definition of a wilderness, a barren place. And a very great multitude had followed Jesus. Why? Well, Mark 7, verse 37, the last verse in chapter 7, says, "They were astonished beyond measure because Jesus had been healing and casting out demons. And they said, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" And in their astonishment, they just kept following Jesus. And here they are in the wilderness. And now, after 3 days, Mark tells us 4,000 men. The last chapter, verse 9, says 4,000 men. But when you go to Matthew, Matthew says, and don't forget, Matthew was there. Not only was it 4,000 men, but it was wives and children on top of that. How many people were there? 8,000? Maybe 10,000 people. Think on that. 10,000 people in the wilderness for 3 days, and now they're hungry. And in verse 4, the disciples ask, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" Dear friends, today, as we look at the world at large, and as we look at our own country, we see that there are a vast multitude of people in the wilderness, a wasteland where they do not have what they need. People are starving for the bread of life. They're starving for the food that will give them eternal life. They're starving for the Word of God. The whole Word of God, not just the dessert, not just "God loves you," and He does, but the whole Word of God. Judgment is coming. Turn away from sin and believe the good news. Christ died for you. Too often, though, all too often, we all are just like those disciples, and we ask, "What can I do? What can we do in the face of such a vast multitude of need?" We don't have the resources. We don't have the skills. We don't have the talent, or my favorite, we don't have the spiritual gifts. How can we meet the spiritual needs of so great a multitude? Well, the second point Jesus makes is in this text, and I believe the most important point for today, is Jesus works with what you have. Certainly, the 7 loaves and the few small fish were impossibly poor provision to satisfy the needs of up to 10,000 people. But Jesus demonstrates 2 truths here to his disciples and to us. First of all, he demonstrates that what you bring is enough. And precisely because what you bring is inadequate, Jesus secondly demonstrates that God multiplies the power of your talents when you bring them to him to accomplish the work of his kingdom. You see, it was Jesus' desire that these people be fed. It wasn't the disciples' desire. It was Jesus' desire. And you know, he could have instantly and miraculously satisfied them all. You know this is true because the Bible says in many places that people came to Jesus and asked for someone else to be healed. You remember the centurion who came to Jesus and he said his servant back home was dying. And Jesus said to him in Matthew 8:5, he said, go your way. Your servant is healed. And you remember the nobleman whose son was dying, John 4:46, Jesus told him, go your way. Your son is healed. Jesus didn't have to even be there to instantly heal people. Jesus didn't have to feed these people to satisfy them and to make them strong. He could have just done it. But he chose to give them food to eat. And why did he do that? He did that so there could be no doubt, no doubt among the 10,000, no doubt among the disciples, no doubt in our minds either of this mighty miracle. God desires to work through you. The disciples, like you and me, often doubt. And we say, what can we do? What can I do? We don't have what's necessary. We can't do it. How often I've heard Christians say, I can't do this or I can't do that. Like seven loaves before thousands and thousands of people. I don't have enough scripture to feed the starving, lost sinner, even one person in my own family. I've heard that. I can't share scripture with my dear family member. I don't have enough of it memorized. I don't have the ability. Well, neither did the disciples that day in the wilderness. And Jesus asked them, he says, all right, what do you have? What do you have? In verse 5 and 6, Jesus asked them, well, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. So Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves, and he gave thanks to God for what they had. And he asked God to bless what they had. And then he gave them back to the disciples and told them to distribute them to the people. Yes, what they had was inadequate, but Jesus took it and he made it provide what was needed in superabundance to the multitude. Verse 8 says, so they ate and were filled, and the disciples took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. What do you have? The need is great all around us here, right here in Roseau County. The need is great in our country. The need is great in our families. The need is great in the world. What do you have? Does it seem inadequate? Dear friends, give it to Jesus. Let him use your poor understanding of Scripture. Let him use your poor gifts of persuasion. Let him use your poor filling of the Holy Spirit. Let him use your poor ability and see what he can do. Jesus works miracles with what you have. And Jesus teaches us that God provides abundantly to those who follow him. It's just as Hudson Taylor said, God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. And we see that illustrated in the text. First of all, that is the fact that it was done God's way. First of all, these people were following Christ. When they got hungry, they didn't peel off, each one going his own way, or they didn't go home and say, well, I've had enough of miracles. I think I'm going to go grab some dinner. Getting kind of hungry. Notice that the people didn't stick around, though, because they thought they were going to be fed. They stuck close to Jesus, verse 37 says, because they were astonished beyond measure, saying he does all things well. How do you feel about Jesus? Have you only heard about Jesus? Or Do you know that without him you are a lost, condemned sinner who is indeed a slave to Satan and death? In the latter case, which only one finds out through the true law of God's word, yes, in the latter case, then the gospel is astonishing beyond measure. And that, dear friends, is conversion. God has done all things well. Jesus has died for you. He's taken all of your sins upon himself and suffered your punishment. He died. He has been risen from the grave to eternal life. And he promises that if you will just trust in him, then your sins are removed from you and you stand before God in perfect righteousness. Are you following Christ? Secondly, these disciples and followers not only were following Christ, but they listened to Christ and did what he said. There are a lot of people in the church that are following Christ, but they're not listening to what he says. He commands the multitude to sit down so that the food can be properly distributed, and they obeyed him. He commanded the disciples to distribute the food that he had just blessed, and they did. And then the miracle occurred. Do you see the people? They could have said, why should we sit down? Why should we not go somewhere else and fill our stomachs? And the disciples, they could have just thrown down the baskets and said, this is ridiculous. I got the fragments of 7 small loaves here. I got 10,000 people out there. This is ridiculous. I'll never make it through the first row. Isn't that what we're tempted to do in our lives? Aren't we so often judging God's word by our own fallen reason and not listening and not obeying the word of God? And then we wonder, why do we not see more miracles? But the history of Christianity is full of men and women who were wholly inadequate and totally unprepared for the task that God gave them, but they trusted God and they saw miracles. I think of the Apostle Paul, one man. And then with the help of Barnabas and Silas, started all of the churches of Asia and Europe. I think of Martha and Mary, who saw their brother rise from the dead. I think of Hudson Taylor, who went to China and brought salvation to millions. You know, the church in China today is still standing on the foundation of the China Inland Mission. Think of Mother Teresa and the work she did in India, and on and on and on. Dear friends, we are surrounded by multitudes of lost souls in the wilderness, and it will be that way until the end of time. So what can you do? Well, do what Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all the things that I have commanded you. And don't forget this. Lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. Trust in God's provision. The need is very great, and Jesus will work with you to save lost souls for the glory of God. May his name be praised. Amen. Our hymn.